The message today kind of was a stepping stone off of the one last week where we talked about rights can be wrongs. And, you know, we said that in order to know what is right, you have to really go into God's word. God made it clear to us in his word the things that will bless us and the things that will hurt us. And he also gave us the Holy Spirit to help to guide us in case we're a little confused at times, like some of us are, and help to direct us in such a way as that. So we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 to start. And, you know, we talked about Moses and how, you know, he brought manna down from heaven at God's decree in the wilderness. But if we back up a little bit, a little bit in Scripture, Moses, as you know, he was born as a Jew. He was born to Jewish parents. And his parents didn't want him killed, which was the edict of the Pharaoh at the time. So they floated him down the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket floating down the Nile and brought it up out of the Nile and saw the baby in there. Of course, she attributed that to the God of the Nile as being an answer to her prayer, but we know that it was God. And she took this child, Moses, and gave him that name, Moses, which means to have been drawn out of the water, and raised him as an Egyptian. So from the time of that he was a baby until 40 years, he was pretty much of the understanding that he was Egyptian. When he turned 40, it was made known to him that he was actually a Jew. And because of that, he ended up standing up for the Jewish people who were in bondage, and ended up leaving Egypt and going across the desert into Midian, and became a shepherd. So he became a shepherd for 40 more years. Now, you know, if you think that your life is got a path that, you know, at our age has already been set in stone and is done, don't be fooled, because for 40 years he was in Midian as a shepherd, but then he saw the burning bush, went to go and see the burning bush, and then God spoke to him. He's 80 years old now, and God said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to free my people at 80 years old. So he goes back into Egypt, and you know the whole story, brings all the plagues. You know, God says, you know, these are the things that are going to come upon Egypt, brings all the plagues, eventually gets Pharaoh to let the people go. And then they go into the wilderness, and as we mentioned earlier, the people begin to murmur against God, murmur against Moses, murmur against Aaron. And, you know, the Lord says, well, that's it. Now, you know, you're going to wander for 40 more years before you go into my land of promise, and that generation's going to pass. So now Moses is 120 years old. So by the time we get into Deuteronomy chapter 32, which is where we're going to read our text verse today, we have to understand Moses is 120 years old. He's at the precipice of the promised land, and he wants to impart some wisdom unto the people. Now, you know, when people are nearing the end of their life and they say, I have something to tell you, listen to what they have to say. If it's on their heart to tell you something, there's a reason for that. And, you know, the people here, we won't tell you what they did. But ultimately, they had some issues. So in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, Moses says, Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now, that seems like an odd thing to say, right? He says, oh, that they were wise and that they would consider this. Well, what is the this? That they would consider their latter end. Now, that doesn't mean the day they're going to die. But, you know, we all will die eventually, right? But he's saying that, you know, there's things that are coming down the pipe, right? We always talk about decisions that we make affect our future. So we want to make the right decisions so that when we see where we want to be at our later days, we want the decisions that we make now to help us to get to that destination. Now, I'm sure it's beginning to get clear to everybody what we're talking about here. But, you know, what we have to understand is that, you know, we don't know our latter days. We have a promise from God that says, you know, those of you who are in the body of Christ, Jesus will return one day and he will take us home. And we will live forever in his presence in glory. That's the ultimate end of our days. But you see, between now, whatever age you are at, and when that happens, either you die or he returns, we have things that are still going to be happening in this present time that we live in. And those are the things that we need to look at. What are the decisions that we are making while we're here on this earth, while we're still alive, taking breath, that are going to help us to reach the goal that we want? Now, we're going to make mistakes, folks. It's inevitable. We are flawed. We are not perfect. And because of that, we don't always do the right thing. And if you think about your Christian walk as a trip, you decide, you know, do you just get in the car and start driving? Or did you plan something? Did you pack clothes based on the destination that you were going to go to, so you had the right outfits for whether it was cold weather or warm weather? It would be really embarrassing to take the wrong clothes to go somewhere, right? But it's even more embarrassing to not even figure out, how do I get where I'm going? So in order to make the trip, you need to know, what's my destination? And then you work back from that, right? So you say, okay, along the way, I'm going to make a couple stops, right? So, you know, those stops are going to be important. You might stop, if it's going to be a long trip, you're going to definitely stop for some bathroom breaks. You're going to stop to maybe get some food. You may stop to see some sights along the way. Or you may stop because you're going to be visiting some people that you know live between where you are now and where you're going. So, you know, if you're not in a hurry, you plan all that out. So it's important that you know where you're going and you make the appropriate arrangements, right? So one of the things that we have to understand, you can do all that planning and it may not work. It may turn out that you got a flat tire 3 miles from your house, and then your car broke down and you had to be towed. Now your plans are all shot because the hotel that you were planning on going to, you're not going to make it in time. Your car's being fixed and you're not going to be on the road until the next day. So now things change, right? But guess what? We have a God who already knows everything that's going to happen between now and the day, well, let's just say the day of glory, when everybody who did trust in Christ enters into glory, and the Jews enter into their ultimate promised land that they were promised. All God knows that. God knows you were going to be here today. You may not have known that until you woke up this morning. You say, well, I'll see how I feel. But God knew you were going to be here today. God knows where you're going to be when you leave here, and he knows what's going to happen. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life between now and the day that Christ returns. Now, you may die before that. I don't know, because I don't know how long that is. But God knows. God knows there's a day that he has appointed that we will die, unless Christ returns before that day. But he knows the day that Christ will return. We don't know that. We have no control over that. So what does that tell you? We can put our faith and trust in our God, but we also know that everything we try to do on our own may not come to pass. So ultimately, you know, where is your trust going to have to be? It has to be in him, because he's the only one that can control everything. Now, there's a scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46. Verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. It says, remember this. Oh, yeah, 9 and 10. No, I'm sorry. Remember, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So what is he telling us there? He already knows the end from the beginning. So he says, it's his will that everything that is going to happen between now and then is going to be in accordance with his will and for his pleasure. Now, folks, it's an amazing thing to think about, but you know what? We can do things that are pleasing unto God. Now, if you think about the fact that he says, from the ancient of times and the things that are not yet done. Well, what are the ancient of times? See, for God, God's outside of time. So God looks at things and he says, well, I can look and I can see the very beginning, the beginning of time, when he created the heaven and the earth, and when the sun and the moon and the stars, and now the earth rotates around the sun, and we have our 24-hour day because of the way that the earth revolves. So, you know, that time that we live in is for our benefit, not God's. God is beyond that. So he looks back in the Ancient of Days, and he says, I was there. In the beginning, God created, right? And then he goes all the way to the end where he's got the latter days. And in the book of Revelation, what's the very last thing that we see? The very last verse in chapter 22. The important thing for everybody to understand, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. See, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's, you know, everything that happens in between Genesis and Revelation all leads up to the fact that it points to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if, and people are like, oh, you know, it's so hard to know that I'm going to go to heaven. No, it's not. See, if you think about the fact that you don't have to do anything, God's not saying you have to plan the trip. He says, I already planned it for you. All you have to do is live for me. Trust my son, Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that you couldn't get to heaven on your own, that you are a sinner saved by the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I mean, I could end right there and say, that's it. But you see, in between all that, we still have to live here for however long that might be. Weeks, months, years, we don't know. But the Lord knows. Now, I had an example, and I'm going to try to go through this quickly. If you understand the destination, then you can plan accordingly. Now, I'm sure most of you, when you were in school, think back. For some of us, it was a long time ago. But I remember learning about the Intercontinental Railroad. Do you remember that? So there were, there were two organizations that were tasked with building the Intercontinental Railroad. So ultimately, the intent was that it was going to have a rail system that would join the East Coast to the West. But they were able to lay the rail going all the way over to the central part of the United States. But they have this really lousy thing known as the Rocky Mountains, which cuts off, you know, the West Coast and the Midwest. And they needed to try to figure out how are we going to connect, you know, the California, basically, to the rest of the United States. So they hired these two organizations. One was called the Central Pacific Railroad, and one was called the Union Pacific Railroad. And one of them was tasked, which was the Central Pacific Railroad, for starting in Sacramento, California. And the other, the Union Pacific Railroad, was tasked, well, Central Pacific, that's that Esther Ruth thing, right? The Central Pacific Railroad was tasked with starting at Sacramento going east, and the Union Pacific Railroad was tasked with starting from Omaha, Nebraska, and going west. Now, think about this, folks. They didn't just say, okay, we'll see how far you can get, and we'll see how far we can get, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. That's not going to work. You got to know, where are we going to meet? And then hopefully, you know, you both work towards that same goal. 7 years it took them to traverse or go through the Rocky Mountains to come to a point where they met, and they met in Promontory Summit in Utah. Now, my understanding from reading the history of this was that when they came together, the track that was being laid from the west going east and the track that was being laid from the east going west was only off by about 2 feet. Can you imagine? The technology, and we don't have like GPS back then, you know. You can't say, oh, this is exactly where I am on this earth. That they didn't have that. But, you know, even GPS can be off a little bit, right? But they were within 2 feet of each other by the time they were coming together. And then obviously they made whatever adjustments they had to make, and they laid the final piece of track. So, you know, it's a great example to us of, you know, the planning that has to go in so that you know that when you get to your final destination, everything's going to work out. Can you imagine what would have happened if the guys going from the west to the east would have been a mile north of the guys who are going from the east to the west? Then what do? You make a big you know. Yeah, that's not very efficient. But, you know, that's okay. They were able to do it. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 8. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Well, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Do you ever want to take a vacation? Yeah, all the time, right? Well, when you decide on your vacation, do you decide to go someplace worse than where you live now? No. You want to go to a place that's better than where you are now, even though it's only for a short time, right? But then you make the appropriate plans for that, right? So the end of a thing is better than the beginning. Unfortunately, we always have to come back home, right? These are the wise words of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, right? Now, all right. Let's say example number two, planning. You have to plan, right? Since we're talking about Father's Day and making a pie, you can decide, well, what kind of pie am I going to make, right? Well, the type of pie determines what you're going to put in it, right? So, you have to make the crust. You have to have a filling. And depending on whether you're making like a fruit pie or a cream pie or something like that, you have to have multiple ingredients that are going to have to go into it. And then is it going to have a top crust or not have a top crust? Going to be lattice and all this kind of stuff, right? Well, if you're like me, you go on allrecipes.com and you take a look and see, what do I need for this? And it gives you all the ingredients and a picture of what it's supposed to look like. Now, I've messed that up a few times, folks. It doesn't quite come out looking like the picture, but that's okay. But the thing is, we don't care what it looks like. We care what it tastes like, right? So when you decide that you're going to make the pie and you get all the ingredients, have you ever, well, maybe a pie's a bad example, but have you ever made a cake where you've mixed everything together and then you tasted the batter and you said, oh, man, that's awful. But you see, it's awful at the time that it's unbaked because it's not done yet. But when it's baked and it's all done, then you slice it up and you say, oh, that's amazing. See, that's how we are when God looks at us. He says, I've given you a recipe. That recipe is right here. Everything you need to know on how you get to be a really nice tasting cake by the end is all written right in here. And yeah, along the way, it may not taste very good because it's not done yet. But when God looks at us, he looks at the cake. He looks at it's all done now. And he says, you are an amazing dessert. I mean, of course, this is the example, right? But you see, along the way, you may do a few things that you don't look so good when you're in the bowl, and you don't taste so good when you're in the bowl. But ultimately, it doesn't matter because God says, I'm the one in control of this. I'm going to take you from that really nasty looking, smelling, tasting batter to be this really wonderful looking, well-decorated cake at the end. You're going to be perfect. Now, only God can do that. And we sit here going, well, I know I fail all the time. I know I do this, I do that. And it doesn't matter. You're going to fail. God knows that. He already knows what you are. He knows the frame, right, of who we are. But he says, I'm not interested in that. What I am interested in is, did you follow the recipe so that you ultimately turn out to be that nice cake? Well, and again, it all is going to be dependent on whether or not we trust this book. So everything that we need to know, when you're a parent, when you're raising your children, and you say, oh, you've probably all heard this, I wish somebody would have given me a instruction manual on how to raise my kids. I used to say that, but you know what? Somebody did. He gave us this book. It gives us all the instructions we need. And when he says, raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, what he's just telling us is you need to lay a foundation with your children. Now, what your children do with that foundation, it's not your problem. They're going to grow up and they're going to decide, am I going to build on that foundation to make something really beautiful for the Lord. That batter that needs to be baked, right? Do you know, it's not fun being baked. You know, being baked at a high temperature is painful. If you've ever tried to pull something out of your oven, but you know, ultimately when it's done and it cools and you're able to eat it, it's a wonderful thing. But so many people think that they're going to raise their children and they're going to raise their children in a, oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing kind of attitude. Well, you know what? God has a plan for that as well. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, it says, Proverbs 14, verse 12, says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, we can make decisions in our lives, either for our own life or for our children, grandchildren or friends, neighbors, whatever, because it seemeth right to us. But you know what? We're not supposed to make decisions on what seemeth right. We're supposed to make decisions on what is right. How do we know what is right? See, the rights can be wrongs, because what we think might be right is only from what we believe. But we have so much coming at us from all sides that sometimes we kind of get influenced by the world. But God says, no, I put it all down here. It's in black and white. And folks, I know you all speak English, and it's in English. So we can read it and we can understand it. Because at the moment that you got saved, he gave you the Holy Spirit, who helps us to understand who God is and what God wants. So there's no excuse, right? So we can always say, the Word of God is simple for the simple, but it's complex for the complex. So once you get saved and you're that babe who begins to partake of the milk of the world, of the Word, then, you know, you're only a babe for a short while, but you read it, and don't worry that you don't understand the whole thing. Believe me, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have understood everything that's in this book. You can study it for 60, 70 years and still not know it all. But when you get to heaven, you'll know. But in the interim, God says, just keep reading it, keep studying it, and keep using it to help you make the right decision. Now, we understand that when Christ came to this world, he says, he is the way, right? So, you know, if you're trying to figure out, I don't know what path to choose, well, choose the path that is Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So if your destination is eternal life, you need to know that what you're following is the true path. And then the way is laid out for you. And Jesus made it clear, I am the way. So I am the truth, I am the life. All of those things come together to help to formulate our destiny, where we want to go. Now, you know, the world will do all kinds of things to try to confuse you. But we have to understand what God's desire is. And what God's desire is that when we read this book, 80, maybe even 90% of this book tells us those people who did it wrong. Now, you think, well, why would you do that? Because we're not perfect, and God knows we're not perfect. So what he does is he gives us example after example. Oh, this guy, he cheated on his wife. This guy, he put his wife away. This guy, he killed his brother. This guy, he did, you know, whatever. He stole this guy's property. This guy, you know. And, you know, all of those things come up in life. They're all examples of what mankind does to mankind. But God says, Don't follow those examples because you see how they end. Follow the example of those who are right. Now, there was a verse that I had. The book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 37 and 38. Psalm 37, verse 37 and 38. He says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Now that's pretty clear. So, you know, if you follow the perfect man, now what's the perfect man? Well, I got done telling you we're not all perfect. Well, who is the perfect man? The perfect man is Jesus Christ, because he's the only man that was perfect. But you know what? God gave us examples in Scripture of people who tried to do the things God's way. And the Apostle Paul was one of those people. Now, we know, I mean, Paul didn't start off as a Christian. Paul was a Jew. And he was raised in the Jewish traditions. He was seated at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a great Jewish rabbi, and learned from him. Now, folks, this is the idea, right? We send our kids to school. Our kids learn from those that are teaching them. And then we try to teach them something. Now, what the school teaches them and what we teach them sometimes collide, and they don't agree. And what happens then? You have to go to the Word of God and say, we can only resolve this with the truth. So what's the truth? All right, so you do that. But, you know, your children have to be able to understand. One day, they're going to leave your home. They're going to be on their own. And when they do that, they're going to have to make wise decisions themselves. Their examples along the way are their parents. Their examples along their way are other elders in the church. Their examples along the way are people in Scripture. So the Apostle Paul started off being a Pharisee. A Pharisee of Pharisees, he calls himself. But what happens? He gets saved. What he thought was a life that was great. And you know what? It was great. In the eyes of the world, his life was great. He was doing really well. He knew the Scriptures backward and forward. He was a man that was going to go places. But Christ got a hold of his heart and changed him. And what happened? When you come face to face with a holy God and he shows you what you really are, it changes you. And Paul was changed. Saul was changed. He became Paul. And his realization of, I have a holy God and I have a sinful life. You can't bring what you are before a holy God and think I'm on par with him. Paul realized that immediately. And because of that, his life changed. But you see, his life didn't change, and then everything that he did from then on was just smooth sailing, right? That's not how it works. When we make that decision for Christ, Christ says that you will suffer just like he suffered. In this world, you will be persecuted, right? So when we look at the path that God says is going to take us from where we are today to eternity, it doesn't just go like this, or maybe even like this. It's going to zig and zag, and in some cases it's going to dip, and in some cases it's going to come up. And, you know, those are the really good times, right? Oh, my daughter had a baby. I found the person that I'm going to marry and live with forever, right? And then, you know, all these these peaks happen in our lives. But, you know, when you're on the peak, there's nowhere to go but back down, right? So you're going to end up going down and up and down and up and down and up. But just because the path goes down and up, doesn't mean your spirituality has to follow along the same path. You can still walk on the up, even when you're down in the valley, spiritually. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to try to be the perfect man who's able to stay level in our spirituality, even when we're going through those hard times, even when we're going through the good times. Because sometimes when we go through the good times, we figure we don't need God right now. We stop praying, we stop reading. All those things start falling by the wayside. We don't go to church. But you know what? Those are the times, I think, when you need it more than when you go through those hard times. Because the hard times draw you immediately to God. But, you know, he's telling us, follow the perfect man. If you follow the life of Paul, Paul makes it clear to us in the book of Philippians chapter 3. See, these things aren't here just so God could fill up, you know, what's between the binder. These things are here because God wants us to learn something. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 14 to 16. Paul knows that he's at the end of his ministry. And Paul says, I press toward the mark for the price. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So what's he saying there? He wants us to understand that you may come off the path every now and then, but God's going to fix that. So, you know, he tells us that if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So God reveals it to us through the Holy Spirit. God reveals it to us through brothers and sisters in the Lord. And, you know, he may reveal it to you. He might even reveal it to you through people in the world. So we don't know. But how many of times have you heard the world say, oh, you Christians, you're just as bad as us. Because you do something that they pigeonhole on and see what you've done. And it's convicting. You know immediately, I blew it. But see, God could be bringing those people into your lives so that he wants you to understand, yeah, you did blow it. But you know what? You still have days ahead. Get back on the right track. So all of these things are for our benefit. So consider, as God says, the latter days, so that you make the right decisions now, so that as you progress in your walk with Jesus Christ, it's a progression, not a declination, right? You want to learn more and you want to grow. And that should help us to walk in a manner that's pleasing unto him. All right. With that, we're going to close in prayer. Lord, we do thank you again, always, for the truth of your word and the things that it reveals unto us, Lord, the good things, the bad things of who we are. But Lord, we also thank you because you like to reprove and rebuke, and you correct those things that we do wrong. And because of that, we can continue to live a life that continues to grow and be more pleasing unto you, Lord, which is your desire. So Lord, I do pray that as we leave from here, you'll watch over everybody, keep them safe. Also be with those that we've been praying for, Lord. Comfort them, strengthen them, guide them, Lord. And also, I pray that we would make the right decisions, Lord, and that you would continue to make it clear to us those things that we are doing that are correct, those things that we are doing that are wrong, and may we always seek to do those things that are right. And for that, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.